Friends, firstly, let's go back to the original context of Proverbs. As Om has helpfully explained 4 weeks ago, Proverbs is written mostly by Solomon to instruct his son, to instruct the Israelites about wisdom. And the beginning of the wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. And this idea of teaching the next generation to keep remembering God and to do God's law and God's instruction is being repeated again and again in the Bible. Just like, for instance, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And now as we read Proverbs 3 here, again the same idea is repeated. When the father wants to instruct the children to not forget what the father has taught, do not forget what God has taught to them. And it's sort of like what our parents does, isn't it? My parents love me. Yes, they love me, my sister and my big sister, especially my mother. She will call us almost every week or like twice in a week. And her content of calling usually is about the same old instruction. Do not forget to brush your teeth, wash your face, eat some fruit, and be healthy, okay? And don't eat too much. But but that's the small instruction, which is actually, it's a good thing, because she wants us to remember that and do it in our lives, because she wants our life to be good. And to a more important instruction, such as take care of yourself, be safe, do not go out too late. Those instructions are good, especially for our life. And there is the same importance, especially for a Christian parents. And here, the writer, as a parent, or as someone who's teaching someone younger, wants them to follow the same instruction, an important instruction, to not forget what God has taught. But what's particularly that they should not forget? It says that, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." The writer says, "Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart." But what does it mean by not letting these two things go? And what is this? If we try to remember, anyone want to guess? What is these two things, the steadfast love and faithfulness? No, I'll answer. It's basically God's character. We hear in the Bible again and again, in the Israelite story, and in the New Testament, it's God's character. God's being abundant, rich in mercy, and His steadfast love. He never forsake the Israelites and the people. And He never forsake us, and that's why He sent Jesus. Steadfast love is God's character, and faithfulness is also God's character. That's why, friend, the writer tells them, do not let those two things go. And in fact, imitate them. Do that in your life. Bind them around your neck. And by that, if you follow that, the Proverb says, you will gain favor in front of and success in front of God and man. Of course, in front of God. Because when we imitate God, God likes us. Because you are trying to be godly. If you remember, usually in our per day prayer, we always, one of the most top three per day requests is, pray for me that I can be godly. Pray for me that I can grow in godliness. Because godliness is the concept of imitating God's character. And two of God's most prominent character is steadfast love and faithfulness. Where in steadfast love, it brings the concept of grace, merciful, patience. And while in faithfulness, it brings the concept of integrity, honesty, and truth. Of course, God wants us to imitate Him. And that's why, do not let those things go. But wait, did you also say that it will gain favor and success in men? Yes, in men also. Who wouldn't like someone who has this character? Wouldn't you want a friend who is loving, caring? And wouldn't you want a friend who is honest and not backstabbing you and speak graciously? You want those characters. And I remember, someone told me that generally Christians are well-liked in their workplace. At first, I don't believe it. I thought, as a Christian, we will suffer We are like a sheep in front of wolves. They want to eat us. And I, but actually when I start going to uni and when I start working, when I start displaying these characters, these Christian characters, God's character, I realize that those people, the other people, the non-believer, they don't have any ground to hate you. How can they hate you when you are trying to be caring, when you don't swear, when you watch what you say, when you speak graciously, when you're being forgiving? How can they hate you for that? It's common sense. And how can they hate you when you don't lie, when you are being honest, when you are being faithful to them? How can they hate you? They have no ground to hate you. And in fact, in an ideal world, they should favor you. Such is the system that God created. And especially in the context of Proverbs, where the people live in God's kingdom and under God's rule. Although we don't live in that context anymore, it can still happen. It will give you a harmonious relationship with people around you. Proverbs says, and peace they will add to you. And that's, friend, what you get when you not forgetting God's commandment, when you follow God. And that's also why it's good to follow God. It's leading a wise life when you follow God. But Proverbs 3 continues by explaining what does it mean by following God. And Proverbs 3 says that following God means trusting in the Lord with all your heart. But what does it mean by trusting the Lord with all your heart? This is the interesting part, and for me, this is the center of the wisdom. But let's start with our heart first. It has so many sections. It has work, relationship, game, friends, bacon, family. And for boys, usually there is game, technology, Dota, Counter-Strike, and etc. But for girls, usually it's a bit different. Instead of friends, they call it best this. And there is young stuff, usually it's the stuff that makes them all, it's so cute. But anyway, in our heart, there are so many sections, many different sections. And we want to complete that section with a small part, which is God. We want to keep that small part for God because we want to have a complete life. Even my parents who is not believer thinks that lead a good life, have a good job, have a good spouse, have a good house, but of course, do not be an atheist. They are bad people. So we often think that when we have God in our life, when God is a part of our life, when we go to church on Sunday, that means we have a complete life. Monday to Friday we work, Saturday we have fun, and Sunday we go to church. That's a complete life. But is that, friend? Is that, friend, what it means by following God with all our heart? Of course not. The concept of all itself means all. It's the entirety of your heart and entirety of our life. So, like to ask to ourselves, what are the parts in your life that you can't give up? What are the parts in your life that you think you can't entrust that to Lord? What are the parts in your life that you still put in a section away from God? Like, God, I give you this room, do not get out, just leave this room for me. What, do you still have those parts? Those are the things that we say to ourselves. Usually we say, yes, God, I know you are saying this, but I think my way is better than yours. It's the thing that you say like, yes, the Bible teach me to store my treasures in heaven, and trusting gold and silver is useless. But Lord, I need to keep this thing for my old days, right? I need to keep all this thing for my future. Yes, the Lord taught me to avoid sexual immorality, but it's okay to compromise it a little bit, right? And even pornography is not illegal in Australia. Yes, stealing is wrong, but piracy is not really stealing, right? It's copying. It's not stealing, it's duplicating. So, and lying is wrong. You say that we shouldn't lie and be truth. Let your yes be yes and no be no. But smoothing our word, mincing it a little bit, shaping it into what we want other people to hear, that's not lying, right? Yes, the Lord says, do not love the world. But flirting with the world is not really wrong. Such kind of living, friends, is adulterous. It's just showing that you cannot trust God. You cannot trust God with all your heart, and that's why you rely instead on your own understanding. And friends, Proverbs says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Those acts, those small little arguments that we have with God, is just showing that we actually don't trust God. We sort of saying that, God, I want to follow you, but I cannot really move. I'm being chained to this room. Sort of saying, God, I want to fly with you, but I don't want to ride with you. Can I walk my own way, and then I'll catch up with you later? No, friends. Be careful with our heart. So ask yourself, how does your heart look like? Do you trust God with all your heart? Or is He just a small part of your life? And is there those stuff that you cannot give up yet? Because friend, if you cannot give it up, it might mean that you actually don't believe in God at all. So, this is how it should look like. With God, with all your heart. And all the sections should point out to God. But how do we know whether we actually trust God with all our heart? It is seen when you put God's wisdom in practice. Because the wisdom we trust is reflected in our doing. For example, I trust in a wisdom that if I work, I will get a salary. That's why I do it. I work. Or I also trust in a wisdom that if I study in Australia, I will get a good job and I will get a good living. That's why I'm here. Whatever you do is actually showing what wisdom you are trusting. And that's why, my friend, when you trust God, when you say that you want to trust God with all your heart, do things according to God's wisdom. And do not lean on your own understanding and doing your action according to your own understanding or the world's wisdom. But instead, use God's wisdom instead. So when you want to trust the Lord with all your heart, follow Him. And that's why, my friend, today the wisdom that you need to learn is to fear the Lord and turn away from your old understanding and trust Him with all your heart. Have a change in your heart. Change your allegiance and turn from yourself to God. It's basically as simple as changing your mindset, changing the way you see your perspective of life. It's sort of like wearing your glasses. If your glasses is bad, you will not be able to see clearly. But when you wear the right glasses, you will see things in a clearer way. You will see things in the right perspective. And for example, instead of thinking about career and using it for your own fame, why not honoring God in your current workplace? By being godly example, by being caring to your co-worker. Instead of trying to achieve such a good mark, high distinction, and sacrificing everything, why not trusting God's wisdom? And instead of prioritizing mark, why not prioritizing godliness? Prioritizing serving God. Instead of looking for a relationship to satisfy your lust, why not use your relationship to status to serve God? If you are single, serve the Lord because you have the time and privilege. Even if you have a couple, serve the Lord too. So the change of the mindset is what following God and trusting God with all our heart. So, the fourth point, the keeping the wisdom. That's how we keep the wisdom. By doing it in all our ways. By acknowledging Him in whatever we do. And to honor Him in whatever we do. Yes, it's hard. How can we, sinful people, do everything perfectly? I mean, when you are working and you have a set of money, how do you use all those things to honor Him? When you are a student, when there is a pressure to finish a deadline, how do you still be godly. Sometimes we fail. When we face our lust, how can we sometimes fail too? And that's why. But how can we keep this wisdom? How can we give the entirety of our heart if we keep failing? But friends, don't forget one thing. Don't forget that our faith to God is not our own work. Our faith to God is based on God's first love to us, which is His steadfast love and faithfulness. Remember what He has done to our human. Remember what He has done to the Israelites. Even though the Israelites fail all the time, He didn't forsake our Israelites. He still loves them. He still actively calls them back. Just like in 3 weeks ago with Rosmin's sermon, that the wisdom actively calls the people. And God called us by Jesus. Of course, we are here. Most of us are Indonesian. Or even if we are Australian, we are not our Israelites. We don't speak Hebrew. We don't eat kosher stuff. How can we be part of the covenant? Don't forget that, friends, that we are only here only by Jesus. Only by God's grace to call us back. We who wants to be Gentiles and live in darkness, we can now call Him Father. So don't forget God's active part. Don't forget that God has done it for us. So what we should do by trusting the Lord with all our heart is to keep trusting in Jesus. Because that way, we'll be able to keep the wisdom. And when you fail, ask for forgiveness. Because Jesus is the true wisdom that we should lean on. Not our own effort. Because if I get you to do it as your own effort, then we will fail. But with Jesus, there's always grace, and we can stand up back. And friends, don't forget one thing as well, that God will always remind you. God is like a father to a son. And we are, as a people who believe in Jesus, we are the children. And as a father, when the son is playing with fire or electricity, when the father will say, "Hey, stop it, don't play with that, that's dangerous." That's the first time. The second time, he will play again when the father is not looking, and then the father looks at him, he will say, "Hey, I told you don't do that, but you still do it, why?" That's the second time. The third time, he will still play with electricity again. I don't know, it seems attracting for him. And the father will keep saying, "Come on, I told you, don't play with electricity. That's dangerous." But you see, friends, there is a pattern here that the father will not grow. The father will not grow tired of warning the children. Because the father loves the son. He doesn't want the son to die because of electricity or playing with danger. Such is our God. He is reminding us. He keeps actively calling us back. And friends, God can use anything. God can use His words to call us back. And even if you are here and you listen to this message, God is calling you back. God is reminding you to trust Him again with all your heart. But instead, in our part, as a children, do not grow weary of God's discipline. Do not be tired of God's discipline, because He means good for us. When you are facing trouble, when you are facing distress in your life, and when you suffer, do not think that God has forsaken me, He has abandoned me. No. He is training you, He is caring for you, and He never leaves you. If you forget, if you think that God has abandoned you, remember the Israelites. God is faithful. If you forget, remember Jesus. Even though Jesus suffered, God is faithful to Jesus. And Jesus is faithful to us as well. In our distress and our trouble, we can still trust Him with all our heart. And in our good days, trust Him too. Do not be puffed up with pride and thinking that, yes, everything is good, everything is happening good, like I've got my work all sorted, I've got all my marks good, I'm in a good state of life. Do not be puffed up with pride and also saying that I'm also good with my godliness. No, friends, remember to be humble, because God will always discipline us when you are being perfect in your pride. Because God opposes the pride, but He accepts the humble. And always remember that He can remind us in any way. Be humble to accept every kind of input and feedback, and every kind of rebuke and reminder. And only that way, friend, we can keep the wisdom in our life. It's a hard, it's quite difficult, because it's about we will be having that struggle for the rest of our lives. But in a way, it's also not impossible. Because with man, things are impossible, but with God, things are possible. Because He has given us His Spirit. He has given us Jesus. He has given us hope. So friend, the conclusion, in the end, where are you standing now, brothers and sisters? Are you standing right in God? Do you really believe in God? Or are you actually not trusting God at all? And still love the world? Friends, remember, don't make God as your enemies. Because friendship with the world, flirting with the world, is making God as enemy. And remember, Lord, friends, that friendship with the world is only bringing your way to destruction. Go back to the Lord, because there is life inside Him. So friend, if you love the Lord, follow Him and trust Him with all your heart. And that is the core of the wisdom, to follow God and do it in our life. And do not lean on your own understanding. Let it go. Let go of your old understanding, your own conception of life, your old conception of career, work, relationship, let go of that. And have a new perspective from God. Have a new mindset from God. And that's, friend, trusting what is called by trusting the Lord with all our heart. So, if you can still hear this message, don't harden yourself. Don't harden your heart. It means God is calling you. It means God still cares about you. And He wants you to come back. To come back and follow Jesus with all your heart. So fear Him and accept His wisdom. And only that we can gain a life. Let's pray.